Look over yonder.
Throwback music from Brian. Matt Rothschild with you this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's on vacation this week, so I've been thrilled to be able to substitute for the last couple days. This is my last hour for the week, and I hope you'll join in conversation with me at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, because this is the Civic Media Radio Network all across Wisconsin. On your computer, you can call or text 855-752-4842. And David has been kind enough to call, and very patient at that, because we were talking with Justice Jeanine Geske. I didn't want to interrupt her. I do want to thank the justice, the former justice, to the Wisconsin Supreme Court for being our guest and having such thoughtful things to say for us all. But I do want to hear from David. So, David, what's on your mind?
Well, thanks, Matt. And I guess it's probably just as well I didn't get on with her, because I wouldn't want to create a conflict of interest. I'm going to probably deal with more innuendo, and judges are not supposed to comment on innuendo. And what I was going to, I guess I'd start off with, there's an old expression, there's no honor among thieves. And when you start looking at the collection of people that support Trump, they're not just thieves. There's like packs of Nazis, there's packs of Klan, there are outright thieves, there are great big polluters, there are all sorts of different people that have no desire to make America great again. Their only desire is to get more money and make their wallets fat again. And there's a great example that came out of World War II. One of the first financiers of Hitler was an armaments manufacturer, Fritz Thyssen, Thyssen. And he gave him millions and millions of Deutschmarks, and it ended up on the Council of Nazis. But he was Catholic and ended up in Dachau, if I understand right. He published a book. It got to America, and it was titled I Paid Hitler by Fritz Thyssen.
Well, David, thanks for that historical note that I didn't really, I don't know about, I don't know that story. I'll have to look it up. And I'm always grateful to learn new things. I do think, you know, everything that Trump touches, you know, turns to ash. And people who are working for him are either doing it because, you know, they believe in him in the cult-like way that some of his followers believe in him, or they want the refracted power, or they want just the big cash. Some of his supporters, however, I draw a distinction between those people who've already sold their soul to him that are in the cult or who are apologizing to him, you know, who are acting as his apologists, let me put it that way. And those folks who are just, you know, their economic circumstances aren't great. They want to change. They don't like any politicians. They thought Trump was entertaining. You know, they thought it'd be better for 4 years having an entertainer in chief than having Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden. So they voted for him that way. I'm hoping that those people are sick of the Trump act by now and don't want another episode or two. So, I do think we need to differentiate sometimes between those people who are with Trump all the time, as in the cult or standing right next to him or his press secretary or his campaign manager, and then people who have voted for him before, who may vote for him again but aren't out there waving Confederate flags or anything. And we got to remember, in Wisconsin and across the country, you know, half the people are, you know, were voting for or considering voting for Trump, and we can't write all those people off. Some of those people we got to try to persuade. And I have a guest right now who's in the persuasion business. His name is Matt Marino. He is the chair of the Waukesha County Dems. Matt, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you got a Harris for President button. Where can I get one of those?
Right down at the Waukesha Dem office, right down the road from this great studio.
And if people aren't living in Waukesha, are there buttons available at other headquarters around the state?
There should be buttons all over Wisconsin, every campaign office, and every community across the state.
Really? And sign, yard signs too?
Yard signs are going to be a little bit later. We're thinking early September for yard signs. You gotta get the VP on there first. But here in Waukesha, we got our stickers, we got the buttons. We're full Harris, ready to go.
And so what is the address for the folks who actually are here in Waukesha?
Yeah, it's right down across the street from the public library at 336 Wisconsin Avenue here in good old Waukesha.
And I do hope those yard signs come out. One of the problems of the Clinton campaign, it wasn't because of the Wisconsin organizers, but Brooklyn didn't want to get yard signs. Brooklyn didn't think, that is the Clinton, Hillary Clinton headquarters in Brooklyn, didn't think that yard signs worked. So this is what I've heard anyway from people in the know. And so you could drive from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin to Sheboygan or to Door County or to La Crosse, Eau Claire, Superior. And once you got out of Dane County, you didn't see any Clinton signs, and all you saw was Trump signs. And that was horribly demoralizing for people. So I really do. I don't know what the science is behind it, but I got to believe that yard signs are helpful anyway.
I mean, what I can say is the early conversations we've had with the Harris campaign is very, very positive. They should be getting us a lot of yard signs. They've not put any restrictions on them. They basically said, what can you get out? And in 2020, we got out over 3,000 Joe Biden signs. And here in Waukesha, you can go to our website, waukeshadems.org, and sign up. We're taking a pre-registration list so that when we get them on the ground, they will be delivered all across the county over the course of a week or so. And we are pushing 2,000 requests already. So we are fired up, ready to go, and get those signs out all across the county.
Well, that's awesome. I want to ask you about how enthusiasm has shifted since Biden dropped out. And as a preface to that, I just want to read a paragraph from a Jesse Apoyan's article in the Journal Sentinel a couple days ago. The Trump ground game in Wisconsin includes 40 Republican field offices throughout the state. And in the week after Harris launched her candidacy, a spokesperson for the Wisconsin Democratic Coordinated Committee hosted more than 2,000 volunteers for events, signed up more than 3,500 new volunteers, and made more than 175,000 voter contact attempts, knocking on 60,000 doors. The campaign reported that more than 3,500 supporters attended the big rally in West Allis. And according to Jesse Apoyan, the Democratic Coordinated Campaign has 160 staff and 48 offices versus the Republican 40 offices. What was it like, the shift from Biden to Harris?
Look, in Waukesha, we're very fortunate that we've maintained a very strong ground game, off cycles, during cycles. So we had a strong base of support to build from, even under the Joe Biden times. Since Harris has gotten in, it's been monumental. We have seen just record level enthusiasm across our social channels, on our website traffic. We are getting dozens of volunteer signups every single day. We've seen spikes in donations. People are coming out of the woodwork to ask how to get involved because this feels historic. Obama 08's a little bit before my time. I got involved in 2010. But from the people who've been around longer than I've heard that this feels very Obama reminiscent. Our folks at Carroll College are reporting that they are getting massive engagement spikes, that they've had more students reaching out to be part of the progressive groups on campus than they've ever seen in their years on Carroll University. So we all across the county, from the field office to the campuses, are seeing just huge levels of engagement since Harris has taken over the nomination.
Yeah, I wondered about that boost. And if you're listening to the show and you have evidence of this boost in enthusiasm and interest, feel free to call 855-752-4842. We've got John on the phone, so we'll see what John has to say, and then I'll come back to you, Matt. And maybe you can fish out a button for me while we wait.
Hi. Great show. I think that we need to talk about what Donald Trump will do if he gets in, and then the fact that this Harris is doing such a good job, just like Margaret Thatcher. She was able to keep the Falkland Islands. And Trump is, he's so extremely selfish, just like Adolf Hitler was selfish. He didn't have the capacity to be the commander-in-chief for our military back in 2018 when he was president. He stopped the retaliation attack on Iran because Iran sunk three of our tankers, and he stopped it.
Well, John, I appreciate the call. I disagree with you on Margaret Thatcher. I certainly hope that Kamala Harris is not like Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher was one of the most hostile prime ministers to organized labor in English history, and Kamala Harris supports labor unions, so that's a good contrast right there. And but thanks for the call, and we've got Tom also calling in, so we'll take Tom's call. Matt's very patient here, so we can talk forever, but let's hear what Tom has to say.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm not going to talk about ancient history like some of the other callers have been doing. I'm talking about those of us that are neither destitute looking for change nor a zombie follower of Trump. I'm just talking about an average blue-collar American worker that gets up in the morning, goes to work, follows the rules, does his job, spends his time with his family, goes to church, all the things that a normal, in my mind, a normal, good, hardworking citizen does. And although Trump is pretty much a train wreck the way he speaks, I think that a huge majority of people agree with his policies. I think that the Democratic Party is sorely mistaken when they think that it's a bunch of hillbillies that are just following him.
Tom, I appreciate the call.
I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of people that are really up for his policies.
Tom, thanks for the call, Tom from Oconto, and I will respond after the break. I think I agree with some of it, but I think Kamala Harris is going to be better for the people you're talking about. And we'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Crystal blue persuasion.
Don't you find some of their stuff to just be plain weird?
You are all weirdos.
Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's out this week. She's on vacation. She'll be back next week. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network all across the state of Wisconsin. Happy to take your calls at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC or 855-752-4842. I want to respond to Tom from Oconto. I want to thank you, first of all, Tom, for calling. And you raise a crucial question, which is how can the Kamala Harris campaign address the everyday concerns of working people? And I don't think Donald Trump is going to be addressing their concerns. I think he's going to create a terrible inflation problem with his tariffs policy, which is going to make everything more expensive. And I think Kamala Harris would raise the minimum wage. She'd go after the corporate price gougers. She's proposed doing something about skyrocketing rents that are caused by out-of-state speculators in property, which is a terrible thing that's happening all over the country, including here in Milwaukee. And so I think really, and she'd protect union rights, which Donald Trump would not do. And the more you let people organize freely into unions, which was a big thing for FDR and is part of the National Labor Relations Act, it's actually part of the law that you should encourage unions in this country. If you let more people join unions, everybody's wages and working conditions will improve. So I think Kamala Harris and the Democrats should be able to win that argument. And I expect Kamala Harris to talk more about it. She talked about it the other day in Georgia, and I hope she'll listen to Bernie Sanders. You know, Bernie's been, withholding a formal endorsement, but he said he's going to work his tail off to get her elected. So it's a semantic thing, but he wants to sit down and talk to her and give her some proposals that he has that will address exactly the people that Tom from Oconto was talking about and what we need to do policy-wise to help working people in this country. So we got Greg on the phone who wants to chime in. So chime away, Greg.
How you doing?
Doing fine.
No, I'm just I normally don't listen to your side of the aisle, okay? But I will ask you one thing. Am I better off now than I was 4 years ago? And the answer to that, gentlemen, is no, I'm not.
Well, Greg, I appreciate the call, but, you know, 4 years ago, we were in the midst of a horrible COVID crisis that Donald Trump was mishandling terribly.
Nothing but a bad flu. That's all that was.
Bad flu that killed more than 1 million people here in this country and like 7 million people all across the globe or more. And, you know, Trump was very irresponsible in the handling of that. A lot of people died unnecessarily. Their blood is on his hands. And so, no, I don't think we're better off. We were better off under Donald Trump. And plus, if you saw what he did on January 6th, he was trying to destroy our democracy, our system of government. And I don't want coups or pushes or violent revolutions in this country. I want us to be able to keep our republic, keep our democracy, have civil dialogue. I appreciate the call, Greg, though. And I don't mind taking calls from people who don't agree with me. I enjoy the give and take so long as it's civil. And we need more of it in this state and in this country. That's why I wanted to talk more with Justice Jeanine Geske about that group she's involved with in cultivating civic dialogue. Because of course, that's what we're trying to do right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But appreciate the call, Greg. I'm back with Matt here. We got Matt Squared in the studio here. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm speaking with Matt Marino, chair of the Waukesha County Dems. How long have you been over there working for the Dems?
So I got elected as party chair about 2 weeks after Hillary Clinton's loss in 2016.
Wow.
Been involved since I was in college. And it's a volunteer role. So it's a fun thing that I was like to tell people is, I'm not some high-paid politico. I'm just doing this in my free time after my 40 hours of work and spending time with my family. Just like I think it was Tom on the phone. Feel a lot of connection with Tom.
And how many volunteers do you have? How are you equipped to handle all the flood of volunteer calls you're getting right now?
Oh, we are fully equipped to handle it. We are the largest and most organized county party in Wisconsin. We have hundreds of volunteers, and we're the largest with nearly 3,000 party members, dues-paying party members who put up the money, become an official Democrat of a member, and they come out, volunteer, donate, and help make the community a little more blue election after election.
Well, tell me how that's been happening. I mean, because, you know, I've been in Wisconsin for 40 years now, and when I used to think about Waukesha County, I thought, well, that's red, red, red zone. That's the home of Scott Walker. We're in enemy territory here. But the more I've looked at the statistics over the last several elections, the bluer Waukesha is getting. Why is that?
It's a lot of just the changing of the mindsets. So when I got elected, my biggest part was just getting us out in the public. A lot of people have thoughts about Democrats and what we are, who we stand for, and the type of person we are. So like when Tom was talking about the Democrats don't represent the 40-hour week, hardworking, religious guy, it resonates because that's the mindset a lot of people have, not knowing that a lot of our members are gun-carrying union members, 40-hour plus a week, religious attending type folks who just believe in a different coalition and a different broad set of ideas that are a bit more inclusive to everybody. So we got out and about, changed that mindset, and then over the time Trump's been involved, it's become Democrats are the adults in the room. We want to be the ones having a civil discourse. And we can go to your door, we can see you at the farmer's market and agree that we won't always agree on everything, but we do want to make sure that our vision of America has a place for you in it, even if you don't agree. And that's the thing Donald Trump can't say.
And I've also heard from pollsters, especially Charles Franklin at Marquette, that, you know, women in Waukesha, women in Tulsa, women in Mequon really turned off by Donald Trump and his tone, his name calling, his racism, his sexism. Do you feel that when you go to the doors?
Absolutely. I mean, the college-educated women are the driving force behind the change here in Waukesha. And we see it even, I think it'll be exacerbated by J.D. Vance and what he is doing, because he is the type of person that is turning off a lot of these folks by calling them single cat ladies are ruining America, and saying how if you don't believe in having children, you're a sociopath and you're ruining America. That type of rhetoric has no place, especially with a lot of these college educated women who have great successful careers themselves.
And for, you know, for families, for couples that haven't been able to have families, you know, that he's slapping them in the face. And a lot of those folks have tried hard to have families and couldn't. Others made a conscious choice that they didn't want to have families, which is a free country. We're supposed to be able to do that in America. And he's slapping them in the face, too. Yeah, I think J.D. Vance is going to hurt the ticket, the Trump ticket. I think that kind of tone that starts at the top with Trump, Walker had it too, but Trump has it even more, is going to lead to a victory in Wisconsin. Are you believing that Kamala Harris is going to win here in Wisconsin?
I'm fully confident that we are in a great position to win Wisconsin.
And do you think she's going to win the whole shebang?
Absolutely. We're going to have Kamala Harris be the first elected woman in the White House.
And how exciting would that be?
Oh, it's going to be just a monumental party.
I mean, that's why I think people are giddy right now. And I hope, you know, from your mouth to God's ear, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie today. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Matt Rothschild with you for the next half hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's been on vacation this week. She'll be back on Monday. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. I love being on Civic Media. I love the idea behind Civic Media and the project that people like Brian have worked so hard at. Brian Kelly in the studio, the great engineer and producer and actor, voice guy.
It ain't just me, man. I got to tell you, there's a good old team now of people, and they're pretty darn... They're way more qualified than I am, to be sure.
I know you got a good team, and a shout out to my friend Luke Mathers, who does an incredible job on the network too. So I'm going to put you on the top, Matt. Spot, Matt Marino. We got two Matts here with you for the next 25 minutes, and if you want to call and join this conversation, I'll put you, the listener, in your car or in your office or in the kitchen. Or out in the garden with your cell phone, call 855-752-4842 and tell us who you want to be the VP under Kamala Harris. But Matt Marino, I'm going to you first.
Let me take off my chair hat and put on the voter hat for a second. You know what? I think that I've been really happy that the last 10 days we've seen a great bench of Democrats emerge to show the widespread talent of our party and the widespread viewpoints of our party, from a more moderate Governor Beshear all the way to a bit more progressive Governor Pritzker. I personally am very excited and hopeful that Governor Shapiro emerges as the likely VP pick. I think having two prosecutors prosecuting the case against Donald Trump is great. Two great attorney generals who have delivered results for their communities, rather it's going against the big banks in California with VP Harris, or bringing $1 billion from the opioid settlement to Pennsylvania like Shapiro did as AG. So that's kind of where I've landed. I think that's a good dynamic to have.
Do you think he's the leading candidate?
They've done a really good job of keeping it tight sealed. I think some leaks have come out that makes it seem like a governor's going to be it. So I think we're kind of down to a final four in terms of governor between Tim Walz out of Minnesota, Pritzker out of Illinois, Beshear out of Kentucky, and Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. I think I think just given the Pennsylvania vibe of a swing state, I think Shapiro has a slight advantage, but I think anything could happen between now and Tuesday.
Well, I'm a Jewish American, and I'm, you know, I wonder whether America's ready to have a vice president who's Jewish running with a black woman for president. But, you know, as Angela Lang of Block reminded us all on Tuesday, you never know when you're ready. You don't get that text on your phone. It's time, America, to get past your bigotries and like people, not because of who they are, but because of what they stand for. So I'm hoping we're mature enough for that. I also hope that the country would be mature enough to have a gay vice president. That's why my first choice is Pete. I think Pete Buttigieg is the most talented person whose name has been thrown out in the mix here. I think over the last 2 weeks, he's handled himself tremendously as a great advocate and counterpuncher and puncher. I thought he was a great debater last time around when he himself was running for president for a while there. So I kind of been leaning toward Pete. For a while there, I was entertained by the idea of Senator Mark Kelly down in Arizona. Great biography, astronaut, fighter bomber, husband to Gabby Giffords, gun control advocate. But I don't think he's a strong enough speaker. I don't know if he could hit the fast pitch from the media in all the shows that he'd have to be on or in the debate that he'd have to be on. I did fantasize about Pete Buttigieg going against J.D. Vance. I mean, that would be the refs would have to call that with a TKO in the first round because he would beat J.D. Vance up to a pulp. So, but, you know, Shapiro, one thing I see there is that Pennsylvania is one of the swing states that is further away than some of the others. That is, the numbers aren't as great in Pennsylvania for Kamala Harris as they are in some of the other swing states, including right here in Wisconsin, where it looks like it's neck and neck. What are the numbers you're seeing in Wisconsin right now?
That's pretty much where it's at. I mean, I think everything is a little turbulent because there's just a lot of moving pieces and a lot of changes. But I think everything we've been seeing is every poll they put out, Harris is gaining a little bit, kind of evening out the numbers. I think, you know, we have a great momentum right now. It's been a really rough 10 days for Donald Trump.
I'd say so.
We have
he took on some water yesterday.
Yeah, didn't go well. We have the VP announcement coming up, which would give Kamala another great couple weeks of press, followed by the DNC. So we're looking at, you know, 3 to 4 weeks of great press coverage and Donald Trump on his back foot. I think come September 1st, seeing what the polls look like will give us a really good idea where we are. On the ground, what I'm hearing is in Waukesha, there's a lot of people who really aren't sure what they're going to do yet. A lot of swing voters, a lot of undecided former Republicans, sometimes for a lifelong Republican. It's really hard to make that choice the first time to pull that lever for a Democrat. And I think with Tammy Baldwin leading the ticket here in Wisconsin, we have a great opportunity to get a lot of first or second time Democratic voters here in Waukesha County to pull that lever for Tammy Baldwin and for the Harris ticket and really send a message that Waukesha is changing and delivering Wisconsin for the Senate and the White House.
Yeah, I'm hoping some of those lifelong Republicans will come around. You know, I'm wanting a signal from former President George W. Bush, from Laura Bush. I can't believe they're going to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, there's just no way. You know, Mitt Romney. I mean, I think it's time for reputable Republicans who understand what's at stake right now with Trump and the vile rhetoric that he has. And not only that, the vile threats he has toward our democracy, for them just to step up to the plate and say, guess what? I've been a lifelong Republican. I ran on the Republican presidential ticket. I was president of George W. Bush. You know, it's time to be counted as a hero and as a patriot. And it's not even that hard. I mean, all you got to do is stand up and say, I'm not going to vote for this guy who wants to destroy our democracy. I mean, you really shouldn't get a badge for that. But if they did that, I think that would give permission to a lot of, you know, the decent Republican folks that you meet at the doors here in Waukesha to, you know, make that leap. It's not that big of a leap and vote this time anyway for Kamala Harris, knowing that the stakes are so great.
Absolutely.
Tell me about some of the doors you hit where you're not just doing the likely Democratic voter, but you're with some of these people who are up in the air.
I mean, I would say a majority of the doors we're hitting all summer and going into the fall are just like the average Republican voter who have probably pulled the lever for Republicans more often than not throughout their lives. And it's us talking, opening the conversation up with, how's it going? How are you? What issues do you care about? What keeps you up at night?
And what do they say to that?
You know, the biggest few we hear are immigration, abortion, and the economy. And these are all issues that, you know, maybe the normal mindset of the mainstream media would talk about that's really good for Republicans. It's not what I'm seeing on the ground. Yes, we need a little bit more time with these folks at the doors where we're having an open and honest conversation. But these folks are all gettable. And once they hear about the issues, once we talk about real to real, cutting out all the noise, cutting out all the talking points, and having a legitimate conversation, we are probably winning over more of these voters than we're not, which is why we're spending so much of our energy recruiting folks to knock on these doors and have these face-to-face conversations, because they're more powerful than anything else we're doing.
And how is that abortion issue playing at the doors? I know J.D. Vance is even more extreme than Donald Trump on this, wanting a nationwide ban and no exceptions for rape or incest.
So that's one of the interesting things is when we talk to voters at the doors, there is some skepticism around Donald Trump's personal beliefs. Like, yes, he helped overturn Roe v. Wade. I can show them the clips of him bragging about it. But some of them still think that he's probably paid for an abortion or two in his lifetime.
Well, it's probably a good bet right there.
And they don't think he himself actually has those convictions. But now with J.D. Vance on the ticket, it's very clear what the convictions of this ticket is. It's been much easier to actually have these conversations with folks and sell them on what is going to happen with a Trump-Vance presidency, because J.D. Vance has made it very clear he does not want abortion anywhere in this country, and he wants to punish those who do it.
You had mentioned earlier that there's a lot of enthusiasm swelling up at Carroll College and other campuses around the state, I assume. Is that the issue that's driving it, or is it the excitement to have the first woman president, or just feeling the relief that Biden's down and we have someone who can really carry the case in Kamala Harris?
It's a little of everything. I mean, I think, you know, campuses were already showing up. Not as much enthusiasm, a lot of like begrudging, like, got to do what we got to do. This is too important to sit out. With Kamala coming on the ticket, I think it brings that jolt of enthusiasm. It brings that, you know, next generation leader who speaks closer to how they speak, looks more like they look, and that brings that enthusiasm and excitement out that we were lacking. So I think we're going to see huge efforts there on the campus from those type of things. And as long as also the people who are supporting Kamala coming out and having those conversations. We saw Megan Thee Stallion and some other younger influencers at the Atlanta rally. I expect to see that all across the nation as well.
Yeah, I'm waiting for those cultural influencers too. Brian, yeah. What do you got?
Matt, I want to go back to the door-to-door conversations, because we had a couple conservative callers that were very cool, very awesome, and very nice. In fact, the last guy, Greg, we were talking about, he was driving up at 27th and Ross, and I'm like, go to Oscars and get a BLT there. It's fantastic. You know, and we had a really good back and forth conversation. But when someone disagrees, especially on the radio, you only have like certain amount of minutes to be able to get through, and you have to get to the next topic, and you don't get to go through the long progression of a conversation. I wonder, how does that conversation go, and how does those conversations work now with Biden off the ticket? Is that different now with people who are from the other side?
It definitely gives us kind of a new conversation starter to have. So let's try and tackle this in a couple different spots. What's it like on the doors? You know, sometimes we have a 5-minute conversation, and we follow that 5-minute conversation up with another 5-minute conversation in 2 months at the same door or over the phone. These are not one-time conversations where we talk to you once and we lock you in and we never talk to you again. These are people we talk to 2, 3, 4 times over the course of a year or two, because this is a long game for getting these folks on our side or seeing things how we see them. How has it changed since Biden has stepped away from the ticket? It's given us a point to say that we're listening. So a lot of times when people think about politicians, they're like, these folks don't listen. They do what they want to do. Joe Biden listened. What made him step away is the voters. The internal conversations that are being reported through like the Atlantic is saying that he saw the polls. He saw the focus groups that said people didn't want him there. He made that choice. Now, when we go to the door, we have a little bit more credibility because we can say, look, our party listened. You guys said you didn't want a Trump-Biden rematch. Our party listened. We don't have that. Now let's have a conversation about the future and what we're doing now. Because a lot of the Biden-Trump thing just rehashed 2020. It was rehashing all these old fights. Now with Harris on the ticket leading it, we can talk about the next 4 years, the next 8 years, and then how this Gen X president could transition to future leaderships under the next generations of our country.
Well, that must be pretty effective, because what I was hearing from people was, Joe can't do it. I mean, or, you know, Joe's lost a step, or they were even ruder about his mental faculties. I mean, and after the debate, you couldn't really blame him because the debate was such a disaster. We all know that. We all understand that. But when he did the right thing by stepping out and stepping down and passing the baton to Kamala Harris, and she was great yesterday saying he passed the baton to all of us, not just to her, and that we all have to go do the work, and it's going to be hard work. And that's what you do on, you know, over there at the Waukesha County Dems. I mean, you're doing the work. The other volunteers you have are doing the work. You're not getting paid for it, but it's the Lord's work, in my opinion, because we really have got to bring Wisconsin over the finish line here for Kamala Harris and also the whole country. And do you feel the weight of that? Because a friend of mine who does organizing in Wisconsin said last time around that we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders. Does that ever get too heavy?
It sure feels that way. You know, I was talking, we have some pretty interesting local elections here with school boards and spring races and the Republican Party spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to win these. Sometimes I miss having a break.
There hasn't been a break since 2010, and we've got this August election coming up that I want to talk about briefly on the rebound here in about a minute. So please hang with me, Matt, if you don't mind. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, Matt Rothschild with you for the next 10 minutes or so, and then I got to get on to I-94 and go back to Madison. I've been delighted to be able to substitute for Maggie Dawn on this Maggie Dawn Show over the last 3 days on the Civic Media Radio Network that stretches all across the great state of Wisconsin. Been enjoying taking your calls, getting your texts, talking to Brian Kelly, the great, talented Brian Kelly in the studio, who handles the producing and the engineering and soup to nuts, everything under the sun. And I've also been pleased to be joined for the last hour by Matt Marino, who's chair of the Waukesha County Dems, has been doing a ton of work since right after Hillary lost, I guess. That's quite a resume. I do want to mention what you were suggesting, that it's just been nonstop here, really here in Wisconsin especially. And we've got an election coming up on August 13th. There are a couple crucial deadlines to talk about. August 8th is your deadline to request an absentee ballot if you're a regular or permanent overseas voter, if you're a regular voter, if you're living overseas permanently. August 9th is the deadline to request an absentee ballot if you're indefinitely confined or in the military. And August 9th is the deadline to register at your municipal clerk's office if you want to register ahead of time. But remember, Wisconsin is a same-day voter registration state. This is one of the great progressive reforms that came into being decades and decades ago here in Wisconsin. It helps voter turnout. You've got to just bring a photo ID and proof of residence to the polling place. That would be a driver's license most commonly, also a passport. And if you don't have either of those, you can go to the DMV and get an ID that will count. And so it's really crucial to turn out. And one of the crucial things on your ballot this August is two constitutional amendments that were put there cleverly, deceitfully, by the Republican legislature. They crafted in a very calculated way wording for these constitutional amendments that make them seem, to the extent that you can decipher them, maybe a good idea. They're not a good idea. You should vote no on both constitutional amendments. The constitutional amendments would strip the governor, any governor, but especially our current governor, because he's a Democrat, would strip him of the power to allocate federal funds in an emergency and even sometimes in non-emergency cases. I mean, if there are terrible floods all over Wisconsin, and we've seen those, and if we got federal funding, the legislature could sit on that money. Instead, as it's been for 90 years, the money goes to the governor and the governor distributes it. You know, if there's a terrible tornado that ruins a community, and we've seen that in Wisconsin, the money, disaster money, relief money would go to the governor and he would distribute it. We don't want the legislature to sit on the money. They're professional money sitters. They've been doing that for years now, this Republican-dominated legislature. They're sitting on more than $100 million to clean up water contaminated by PFAS, by the forever chemicals. And so why should we let them take the power away from the governor that every governor has had for 90 years and give it to them who just like to stall and do nothing? And so that's why I'm urging you, if you're listening right now, to remember when you get that ballot and you see these confusing constitutional amendments, to vote no. Matt, are you guys doing education work on this as well?
Yeah, we have weekends of action this weekend, next weekend, leading up to the election, encouraging people to vote no. And for us here in Waukesha, it's very personal. The Waukesha parade tragedy that happened just a few years ago, the governor was on the phone with the mayor within a half hour, and we had emergency assistance coming in within days. Under the Republican legislature, we could be waiting months for those type of responses to happen. In fact, you think about where we're at right now, we're looking at 9 months this year without a sitting legislative session. I couldn't imagine what would happen if we had an emergency that needed them to get their act together in a quick fashion.
Yeah, it's just a do-nothing legislature, and this is the last gasp of power grabbing by the gerrymandered Republican legislators in Wisconsin. They can feel their power receding, and they saw it coming a couple years ago, so they passed this constitutional amendment in one session of the assembly in the state Senate. It doesn't go to the governor. The governor doesn't have an opportunity to veto proposed constitutional amendments. All they got to do is pass these amendments in two consecutive legislature sessions, which was easy to do because they gerrymandered the suckers so badly. But now with the fair maps, they are in trouble. They may not control the assembly in the state Senate. And if they do, it may be a very narrow majority. Matt, what difference, not only on this issue, but on all issues, are the fair maps going to make?
It's going to be absolutely massive. I mean, under the newest maps that were made before they became fair, we saw them take a couple seats that were in play here in Waukesha and recut Waukesha to be fully Republican controlled once again.
They split the city, right?
Yep. Once again, they did that. They split Brookfield. They were manipulating all the lines to cut out any chance of a Democratic, even just competitive election. Under the new map, we see three seats across the county that are highly competitive, including one for right here in Waukesha, where Scott Allen, one of the most radical members of the legislature, is going to be facing a pretty tough competition. We have a Democratic primary on that side with two great candidates. But it's going to be the first time that someone like Scott Allen is going to have to face the voters in a real way and convince them that his views of the last decade align with what the city and the communities in his district want. And that's going to be a tough sell coming from Scott Allen.
And so Democrats, you should go out and vote in that primary on August 13th to get the best candidate out there who can recapture this seat and change the distribution of power in the state assembly. Because they've had too much power for too long. And the way they carved up cities was really disgraceful. And it wasn't just Waukesha. It was Sheboygan. It was Eau Claire. It was River Falls. It was Racine. It was Kenosha. And they did it in a very cynical way to grab on and hold on to power and get everything they wanted that they were able to grab. And now they've tried to tie the hands of the governor with these two new constitutional amendments. So I'm urging everyone, vote no on these constitutional amendments. On your ballot. Matt Marino, I want to thank you for being my guest. I want to thank former Justice Geske for being our guest. I want to thank Maggie Dawn for allowing me to sit behind this microphone for 3 days. I want to thank you listeners for enduring it, and especially Brian Kelly. Thank you for all the help. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, Matt. We love having you.
Have a nice weekend.
This is a process. We'll get it done.